Let us join together in prayer. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that Christ's death on the cross means that we can have hope in a hopeless world. We pray that we might be those who build our lives on Christ. We thank you that Christ's death on the cross shows us how much you love us, your people. We pray that when we are tempted to doubt your love, we would draw near to the cross. We thank you, Lord God, that Christ died for our sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous. Father, we confess our sin to you now, and we remember afresh this day that all our sin has been paid for on that cross. We thank you that Christ's death means life for us. Help us, Lord, to live our lives in a way that is shaped by the cross of Christ. May we be those who take up our cross daily and follow Jesus. May we, in the light of his sacrifice, sacrifice our lives for others. Lord, we rejoice and marvel today at your sovereign plan to save sinners, that you, the Father, would send Jesus, the Son, to be the Saviour of the world, the one who is fully God and fully man. We thank you that Jesus shared in our humanity so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death. Lord, you are the God who has come near to us in this world of brokenness. In Christ we have a Saviour who has suffered for us. And so as we consider afresh now the treatment he experienced, may our hearts be exposed to your word, and may your spirit work in us as we hear your voice, growing us to love and serve Christ more. And we bring our prayers to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Something a bit different now. In a couple of our meditations, we're going to be hearing some poetry, and this next poem was written during World War I, when actually a lot of great poetry was written. But this was written by a church minister who was reflecting on what Jesus and his death has to say to our own experience of suffering as human beings, and particularly maybe how it's those times of suffering that wake us up and cause us to look for a God who understands us. So this is Jesus of the Scars by Edward Shillitoe. If we have never sought, we seek thee now. Thine eyes burn through the dark, our only stars. We must have sight of thorn pricks on thy brow. We must have thee, O Jesus of the Scars. The heavens frighten us, they are too calm. In all the universe we have no place. Our wounds are hurting us, where is the balm? Lord Jesus, by thy scars we claim thy grace. If, when the doors are shut, thou drawest near, only reveal those hands, that side of thine. We know today what wounds are, have no fear. Show us thy scars, we know the countersign. The other gods were strong, but thou wast weak. They rode, but thou didst stumble to a throne. But to our wounds, only God's wounds can speak. And not a God has wounds, but thou alone. We continue our journey through Mark chapter 15 as we read from verses 16 to 20. Mark 15, beginning at verse 16. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again they struck him on the head with a staff and spat on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. Is Jesus the only way to God, or is he not? Is Jesus the only path to eternal life, or is he not? Is Jesus the rightful king of all creation, including you and I and everybody else on this planet, or is he not? What would you say? Because as we examine who Jesus is, if we believe that Jesus is those things, then it follows that he is worthy of our submission and our worship. If he's not those things, then we are wasting our time listening to anything that he says. But yet, as we examine his death afresh, I think we are presented with the evidence that he is a king like no other. He is God's king. And so he calls us to worship him. Although it doesn't look very much like that at this point, others are mocking the very idea of Jesus being the rightful king of everyone. Despite that, his kingness, his godness don't change. They remain true. And in fact, these verses show us more of the character of our Savior, more of who he is. And in reading them, we discover that he is just the Savior that all of us on this globe need. And so our response should be not mocking honor and mocking worship, but true honor and true worship. That's what these soldiers should have done. Their mock submission, their mock worship should have been true submission and true worship because of who Jesus is and because of what he was about to do. Two brief things to notice from this paragraph here. Firstly, Jesus is the king worthy of our submission. So despite the mocking actions of the soldiers, Jesus is not a pretend king. He's the real king. He is God's own son, the one God who has appointed as his Messiah, the king who will rescue his people, the savior of a sinful world who have turned their backs on God. Look at the character of this king as we read these verses here. The way he will save people, the way he will make peace between God and us is through his humble suffering. Did you notice, as we did in our last half hour, as we read these verses here, how much is being done to Jesus? He's doing nothing, but there's a lot of things being done to him. The soldiers, verse 16, led him away. They, verse 17, put a purple robe on him. They twisted a crown of thorns and set it on him, and they call out to him. Verse 19, they struck him on the head with a staff. They spit on him. They pay homage to him. They mock him, they rearrange his clothes, they lead him, they crucify him. Jesus is passive. He is the one who endures all this suffering because this is the way that God will save us. And the physical suffering he experiences is compounded by all the mocking that takes place, the purple robe, the crown. Hail, King of the Jews, they say. When faced with this suffering Savior as we are today, we too must choose how we will respond to the one God has declared to be his king. Will you crown him as your king? Or will you, like these soldiers, mock his reign? What do you say? Mockery reveals our hearts, doesn't it? It reveals the fact that we think we're superior to someone when we mock them. If we think we know better than someone who is doing something, then what comes out of our hearts is often this language of mockery, or at least a feeling of mockery, of self-importance, that we're above them. But if Jesus really is who he says he is, then you and I need to stop mocking and to give ourselves over completely to him, trusting him to save us from our sin and following him. If you're here or you're watching and you're not yet trusting in Jesus for forgiveness of your sins, then I think these mocking Jesus around the cross, they'll challenge you, they'll raise some questions for you. Ask yourself, am I doing the same as what these soldiers were doing? Do I think Jesus is all he has claimed to be? If I'm honest, have I looked into him properly? Maybe that mocking's there in our hearts. Do I think that I know better than God knows about what this world really needs? But for people who have submitted to him, this Jesus stoops down low and serves. So if you're here as a believer in Christ and you're finding life a struggle at the moment, take comfort from these verses. If you are suffering for following Jesus, if you are left alone for following Jesus, if you are being mocked for following Jesus, know that Jesus himself endured all of those things for us. He doesn't call us to follow him anywhere that he hasn't already been. If you're wanting to grow as a Christian, then keep submitting to him as king. Maybe this Easter, focus on his lordship, his power, his greatness. And may God help you to willingly and gladly follow him more and more. Jesus is the true king, worthy of our submission. And related to that, Jesus is the true God, worthy of our worship. Just as Jesus is truly the king, despite the soldiers mocking this, he is also truly God, the one who is worthy of their worship. And the soldiers' mock submission at points looks very much like mock worship. There's a lot of overlap in these ideas when we consider them. So at the end of verse 19, they fall on their knees. They pay homage to him. Now, if you were to read the rest of Mark's gospel, maybe over this bank holiday weekend, to find out more about Jesus, you'll discover that a good number of people, when they meet Jesus, they fall down before him. They come to him and they fall down. They worship him sometimes. They recognize that he is king, that he is God. They realize they've got a deep need that only he can meet in their lives. And so they cry to him to intervene, to do what only God can do. But here, these soldiers mock that worship. They fall on their knees, but their hearts do not bow before him. They pay homage with their lips, but not with their lives. And so when faced with this God-man as we are today, we must choose how we will respond to the one who deserves to be worshipped as God. Will we, will I, will you, will we worship him with our hearts? Or will you mock his glory with your lips? What do you say? Jesus is the king worthy of our submission, the God worthy of our worship. And for people who have exchanged God's glory for the worship of other things, when Jesus returns, every knee will bow low before him and have to submit to his rule. So now, why not receive his gift of salvation so that on that day you will bow lovingly and willingly and gladly and joyfully, entering into the salvation that he brings rather than terrifyingly awaiting his judgment? Christian believer, as you plod on, as you struggle on, then be reminded that as we submit to Jesus, as we worship him, then that is the liberating life. That's the good life. That's the joyful life. So don't be afraid to stand with him in the place of disgrace. Be increasingly assured that this world is not our home, and that we are looking for the city that is coming where Jesus will be forever worshipped as he should be. And let's begin that worship now as our hearts bow down to him in every area of our lives. We're going to take a couple of minutes to be silent and reflect, and then I'll introduce us to our final song and let you know what will be happening next. Let's spend some moments in silence and think about our response to Jesus.